And we'll just take a couple of moments to meditate on the characteristic of a Christian who will come to this table. Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who should not come to this table are to those who do not grieve their sins. They do not mourn that they've offended God. They're not grieved that they cannot meet the righteous, perfect law of God. They should stay away. Those who live in open, ungodly, disobedient lives should stay away. But sinners who mourn, who grieve that they have sinned against God, they're to come. Because these sinners acknowledge they are sinners and they've repented of their sins. And these mourning ones, they shall be comforted. Because they know if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to forgive us all of our unrighteousness. And we're comforted that they will not be reckoned to our account. The guilt and condemnation has flew away, and there's only a loving peace with God. And so Christ invites His people, Isaiah 55:1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Our pre-communion address comes from Psalm 116:13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'm simply going to ask three questions. Why? Why are you here? Why am I here? Is it because of something you've done? Is it because of who you are? Is it because of your status? No. We're here by grace, an undeserved free gift. Christ is ours. And we can say with Spurgeon, my hope lives not because I am a sinner, but because I am a sinner for whom Christ died. My trust is not that I am holy, but that being unholy, He is my righteousness. My faith rests not upon what I am, or shall be, or feel, or know, but in what Christ is, and what He has done, and in what He is now doing for me. That's why we're here. And why are we here together? Why is this not private? It's because this is the communion of the saints. We're from different backgrounds, different nations, different continents, different languages, different social status, different likes and preferences and wants and needs. We're different. But there's something more transcendent whereby we are united. We are one. We are one in Jesus Christ. We are one family, brother and sister. And at the Lord's table, this represents that. We are many members, one body of Christ. One table, one church. One cup, one church, one loaf, one church. And why? Why are we eating this bread? Why are we drinking from this cup? Let's think especially of the cup. Why? Because Christ has done a thing that we will spend eternity discovering. He turned the cup of indignation, the cup of wrath against us, into a cup of eternal love. Let me give you a quote from a sermon speaking about these things. This preacher says, here is a father the eternal Father. And his hand comes down and it is holding a cup. Look at the cup. It is full. It is full of the wrath of a holy, almighty God. And look, there's the shepherd of the sheep. And he is stretching out his hand. He takes it and he shrinks. And he draws back his hand and he looks up and says, Father, if it be possible. But no, his hands go up. He is taking it. He is putting it to his lips. Then he says, do you know what he is doing? He is drinking it to the dregs. And what is he doing with it now? He's filling it up. He's pouring into it and it's beginning to flow over. And what is he pouring into the cup? Eternal love. And now he is holding it out. And what's he doing with it? He's handing it to you, believer. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, shed for you. This is your shepherd. This is your cup of eternal love. Drink and be well pleased in your beloved Christ. Our text of exhortation comes from 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We show the love of Christ by showing the love to one another. And I know that happens abundantly in this congregation. But I would like you to think of people in our congregation, any needs, any wants, in any way you could encourage, strengthen, or help. Think of a person. Think of someone maybe you don't speak to as often as others. Maybe there's a person that you don't fellowship as much with as another. Think of that person. And if God so loved you, think of a real, practical way that you can love them today or this week. Beloved, if God so loved us, let us also love one another.